Welcome to the Spirit of Life Ministries. Spirit of Life Ministries' aim is to call to the born-again body of believers to manifest the kingdom of God through the teaching and proclamation of the Word of God, as well as the greater good for all humanity. Spirit of Life Foundation is based on Ephesians 4th chapter, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and fullness of Christ, to the edifying of the body of Christ in love. Spirit of Life Ministries' heart is for the restoration of the soul and greater good for all out of love. Please welcome now Sister Beatrice Jackson.
Thank you for joining Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B. I give honor to the Trinity Godhead, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for another opportunity, as always, to minister your word. I ask that you open the hearts of the hearer. Give them to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. In the name of Jesus. And I ask that you give me the grace, Holy Ghost, to minister what you have given me. All this I ask in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. So we're going to revisit a couple of messages that the Lord had me minister on not too long ago, titled Return to Our First Love. And it's because of the times that we're in. There is a serious, a spiritual pull that is trying to draw the people of God away from God and this life of salvation in Jesus Christ because of the times that we're in. Also, there is a spiritual wave that's going on in the world, and we don't want to get caught up in that. So we need to be reminded of who we are and what the Lord wants from us in relationship with Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's it. Let's go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it reads, "Unto the angel," and I'll be reading from the King James Version this week, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." And let me say this, the seven stars are the seven angels of the church, and the seven golden candlesticks are the churches themselves. And that could be looked at as twofold. On a personal level, because you and I are the church as individuals, yet there are specific churches throughout regions. Okay, verse 2. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience," patience meaning your endurance, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and has tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted or lost heart, nor engaged in being an apostate. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent." Repent meaning having a change in mind. "And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Now we do know that the Lord Jesus means that when he says that he will remove thy candlestick out of its place, meaning we will lose the influence that we are supposed to have on society as being children of light, being the light of the world. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth." Salt is also a change agent as well as a preservative. But if we don't repent, have a change in mind, and remember from where we got off track and do the first works again, we will lose our influence on society, our ability to be change agents and preservatives as far as society, and lose the ability to give light in darkness. Praise God. So here we are. And the Lord, he wants us to return to him. He is making a cry. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. For us to return to him wholeheartedly and begin to do the simple things Jesus introduced in our lives in early salvation to establish our identity and our life in Him. It's who we are. In regard to living the consecrated life, set apart unto Him, being in the world and not of the world, and simply practicing the presence of God. I don't know if you've experienced this, but because of the spirit that's running rampant in the earth today, any of us that have any form of discernment knows that there's a higher level of demonic activity that has begun to take place over the past few years. And it's even hitting us, the people of God. And if at any point we have engaged in things that took us away from the Lord, if we don't fully and completely let go of those things, not partway. See, God wants the whole heart, not part of our heart. If we don't totally and completely be faithful and have allegiance to Him, Him only, it will keep us bound. It'll be hard to break free. It's like, how can I describe this? It's like having an admixture of poison that we've eaten and we can't separate it. You know, it's still affecting our system. Like it's gotten in our spirit and entangled us, like being like being entangled in the miry clay. And what does that mean? An example of that is King David in Psalm 40, when he's talking about how he was entangled in some things. And it reads, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." Do you see what I'm saying? Can you picture this? Can you picture yourself kind of being in quicksand or a sticky mud, unable to move and break free from it? That's what I'm talking about. But if we do what Proverbs 28 says, starting at verse 13, we will experience the grace and the strength and the power that we had before with the Lord. Praise God. It reads, "He that covers his or her sins shall not prosper." Prosper means move forward. "But whoso confesses and forsaketh them," forsakes their sin, "shall have mercy." Praise God. Verse 14, "Happy is the man or woman that fears always," meaning reverences God and His word always. "But he or she that hardens his or her heart shall fall into mischief." Praise God. So if we wholeheartedly begin to engage with the Lord in our relationship with the Lord again and do the things that we did before, being faithful. See, there's certain things that the Lord established in early salvation with many of us. It set our relationship the way the Lord would have it. Praise God. And so what that means for me, and I'm just using myself as a real life example, what that means for me is that if I am to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, I cannot have that cell phone on during times of prayer and reading the word of God. I must go back to the way it was between Jesus and I in the beginning. Praise God. Even if I don't have the cell phone there at all, I don't have to have the cell phone there at all, period. And do you know I'm strengthened by that? See, that's where that mercy comes in. And that's what the Lord does. He strengthens us. Once we have made up our mind and start to look Jesus's way again. See, that's what He's looking for. That's what He's calling for. Look His way again and obey Him. Be faithful to Him. He restores the grace to live in such a way in relationship with Him and do the things of God, do the things in Him that we were able to do at one point in our life of salvation. Praise God. But that's what He wants. Let me ask you this. How would you feel if you're in a relationship with someone and you know you don't have their whole heart and they're not faithful, not fully committed to you? How would you feel? Well, that's the way the Lord feels too. Were we not wholehearted towards Him? where he only has a piece of our heart, just a little bit of our attention, rather than fully focused on him. Oh, praise God. So this is what the Lord wants. This is what the Lord wants. He wants wholehearted allegiance to him. And he wants us to begin to take some practical steps. What I mean by that, they're doable, to actually do them, apply them to our life, and move in his direction again. And he will meet us there. The Holy Ghost told me that the grace of God meets us where we left off. It picks up at the point where we left off and takes us the rest of the way. I want to read something to you in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And this is about King Asa, who in chapter 14, verse 2, the word lets us know that he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Chapter 15 goes on to say, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Let me say this. In the Old Testament, God was establishing something in the Old Testament in regard to how he wanted his relationship to be with his people. It was going to be either or. Yet he was gracious in the Old Testament too. But I want to say this, that he was establishing something here. Now, in the New Testament, we know that Jesus said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay? And he will not. However, compromise can throw our relationship off with the Lord. And it can make it seem like we're living under a curse when we've actually been redeemed from the curse of the law through Jesus. And we do know the short definition of curse means to be empowered to fail versus blessed, which means being empowered to succeed. Anyway, getting back to this. Verse 3. Now, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without the law or the word of God. Verse 4, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Praise God. In other words, he was right there. Anytime they turned back to him. And that's the way God is. See, that's the grace of God too. Meeting us where we left off. Just, you know, if we begin to look his way again and engage in our relationship the way he established it in the beginning, we will be found of him. He's right there to do the work in us that he did once before and enable us the grace to do our first works again if we repent and do what the Lord says. Praise, live as God would have us. Praise God. You know, there's much more to this, but time won't permit today. I pray that you join me again because there's much more to say. Anyway, this is Spirit of Life Ministries. I'm Sister B, and until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Spirit of Life Ministries, an end-time ministry purposed for revival of the heart toward God, restoration of the soul for the hungry and the lost. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let those that hear say, come, and let them that are athirst come, they that will, let them take the water of life freely. If you would like to contact or be a blessing to the ministry, Spirit of Life Ministries can be reached at 414-249-5121. Until next time, thank you and God bless you. We're tired of the same old same.